Welcome to the Jet Setting Family Travel Podcast. I'm Jess.
And I'm Rod.
And we decided to switch it up on you guys today, because Rod always introduces the show.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Jess, you want to do that this time?
I guess so.
Today's episode is all about Mexico. And when we were planning out this episode, we thought that we can cover all of the destinations that we've been through in one episode. And we realized that that could have taken more than an hour. So we are going to have a two-part series on Mexico. So to give you some context, even before we start giving you context, I guess some history is I was born in Mexico. I was born in Acapulco. I lived in Acapulco and places like Guadalajara.
Say it so non-Mexican. I live in Acapulco.
It's true. Okay, I'm going to turn off the non-Mexican dialect and I'm going to start hablando en español. No? Okay, so.
Be a true Mexican, Rod.
That's right. So as I was saying, I was born in Acapulco, and throughout the first 10 years of my life, my family and I, we moved around to cities like Tepic, to Guadalajara, to Tijuana, and then we finally made it to San Diego, California when I was 10 years old. So, you know, the first 10 years of my life were in Mexico. Since then, I lived in the United States and would travel to Mexico to visit family. I still have family in Guadalajara and Acapulco. Now, on Jess's side.
My mom was born in Chihuahua, Mexico. So we grew up going to Mexico a lot in the summers. I was born in Wilmington, Delaware, very far from Mexico, because my dad was from Philadelphia. His family's Irish. But we spent a lot of our childhood going to Mexico. And then when I was 10, I moved to Mexico City. So Rod and I both have very strong Mexican roots and have spent a lot of time in Mexico. So it was really fun for us to be able to come back to our country and show our kids around and to be able to share like some of the memories we have from childhood there. And I don't know, show them the culture. And our big goal was to get them to speak more Spanish, because Rod and I fail as parents sometimes to be completely bilingual with them. They understand a lot, but don't like to speak it. So it's been nice having them truly immersed.
Yeah. And the reality of it is, in the American media, a lot of what you hear about Mexico is the drug war and the wall. And we wanted to highlight some of the destinations that you can visit in Mexico and some of the beauty that you'll find there in terms of culture, in terms of food, in terms of, you know, family friendly things to do in each of these cities. And just to kick it off, it's one of the questions that we get the most is, hey, do you guys feel safe there? And have you had any issues while you were traveling? And the answer to that is no. I mean, we travel together as a family. We stay in kind of city centers and places where tourists tend to congregate. We haven't had any issues feeling unsafe. There's always been kind of police and private security. And it's been really easy to get around, and we haven't felt
private security for locations, not for us. Let's make that clear. We do not have private security anywhere.
Yeah, that is not what I meant at all.
But we felt really safe. But we also, you know, we are typically at our Airbnb hotel home, wherever that may be, by 9 at night at the latest, because we have kids. So we're not really out late, and we don't consume a bunch of alcohol or drugs. We don't consume any drugs.
We are not in the places where cartels would be conducting business.
Yeah,
I mean, so the reality of it is, yes, there are cartels and there is cartel activity probably in the cities that we've been to. We never saw any of it. And, you know, we felt completely safe going to these places. So if you're planning on a trip to Mexico, yes, there are travel advisories and there are, you know, things you can do to make yourself less susceptible to being at risk of something happening. But we highly recommend that you do visit Mexico, because there is so much beauty, so much culture, and so much to learn, not just for you, but for your kids as well.
I think it's just one of those things too, like any country you're visiting to, especially if you're in areas that may have a larger wealth gap, is to be sure like you're not flashing a lot of jewelry, a big watch. You know, we are mindful that when we're walking around, our camera is not like out and showing. We try to keep it in our backpack, pull it out for a picture and put it back. So just don't make yourself a target. And I don't think that just applies in Mexico. I think that applies anywhere we really travel. So, but now that we've gotten all the bad part, I guess the concerning part out of the way.
Let's talk about the awesome things about Mexico. And the first of these, so just to give you some context now, we left for a kind of long-term journey in Mexico starting in February, and we have been here visiting different cities throughout the country for the past 3 months, February, March, April, 3 months. So for the past 3 months, we have been traveling throughout Mexico with a couple of other kind of journeys in between, but in this part of the show, we wanted to highlight some of the more, I would say, city-based places in Mexico, because you have a lot of cities, you have kind of mountainy regions, and you have a lot of beach kind of tourist locations. So in this episode, we wanted to talk about some of the cities and then one of the beach locations. And then in the next part of the series, we will talk about another beach location that we spent about 6 weeks at. So starting off with Guadalajara. Guadalajara has a near and dear place in my heart because all of my dad's family lives there. So we were able to meet up with my grandmother, my aunt, my uncles, my cousins, and we had an amazing time. We were there for a week, and during that week, we were able to get a small glimpse of everything that Guadalajara is well known for. So if you didn't know, mariachi, the music that you hear with the guitarists and the trumpets and the violins, and it's a very popular kind of Mexican music, that was born in Guadalajara and the state of Jalisco. So that, along with tequila, there's a place in Jalisco called Tequila Mexico, where most of the world's tequila is produced. It's kind of like France and the city of Champagne kind of being the only place in the world that can call that drink champagne. Well, in tequila terms, everything that is made out of tequila and in Jalisco can be the only thing that is called tequila. So it was really cool to be able to experience that part of, you know, the cultural piece of Guadalajara. But we did a lot more in the week that we were there too. There's a lake. There's Lake Chapala that you can visit. It's kind of 45 minutes south of the main city. And it's just this really beautiful lake with kind of a... it's just like the lakeside. It's like a lakeside walkway where you can just walk around, get some beautiful views. You can have some ice cream. There's some
really
playgrounds
good
there
food
for the
there.
Kids.
But really good. A Spanish dish in Mexico is called molcajete. And it's kind of like, I'm trying to describe it. It's like a stone type bowl with a, how do you say it in English? A mortar?
Mortar. Yeah. Like a pestle mortar. And mortar. What is that called? A mortar and pestle, I think.
We're really bad at English now, guys. We've been here too long. Well, anyway, you make your salsas in there, and a lot of times they add chicken or shrimp. And so for me, a molcajete is my absolute favorite dish in Mexico. And you can't find them everywhere, to be quite honest, at least good ones. But on Lake Chapala, there's amazing restaurants surrounding it with really good traditional molcajetes that, oof. Speaking of food in Mexico, real quick. If you are planning to stay 3 weeks to a month in Mexico and you like Mexican food, well, plan to gain 10 pounds because between all the food, the tacos, the molcajetes, the churros,
the tortas, they're just the Mexican cuisine. I mean, maybe it's just because we are from there and we are experienced kind of having that. And that's kind of like our comfort food. But we ate a lot of it during our travels. And some of the best stuff was in Guadalajara.
Yeah, the food there was amazing.
Some other things that you can do in Guadalajara are you can go to kind of the city center, which there is a big cathedral there, the Cathedral of Guadalajara. There you have a theater. It's called the Teatro Degollado. It's this really beautiful and pretty much like acoustically perfect theater where really famous performances happen every kind of September, October timeframe. There is a worldwide kind of mariachi concert where some of the top mariachi bands in the world come and perform at. So there's a lot of good kind of cultural locations in the city center, from the cathedral to the theater, to one of the biggest kind of markets in North America is in that area as well. Another day trip that we did was visiting the town of Tlaquepaque. So it's southeast of Guadalajara, and it's this really small, kind of really walkable part of town in which you can go and get some really authentic Mexican food. You can listen to some live mariachi music. There's a church there with a very beautiful center, a plaza that the kids can play around with.
There's some really cute little sculptures as well. It almost just feels like a smaller town within a big city. So if like the big city overwhelms you, going to a place like Tlaquepaque kind of makes you feel like, I don't know, like you're not in such a big city. It's almost like a getaway within the city.
Yeah, it's very walkable, so the kids can wander around. Some of the place or some of the streets there are blocked off from traffic, so then the kids can run around without having to worry about them, you know, being in danger.
One thing I noticed, which was interesting for me, because this was my first trip to Guadalajara, was that unlike Mexico City, which we'll talk about soon, that has these big high rises and it's just a very developed city, Guadalajara is a very big city, but you don't see a lot of those big buildings. So it almost just feels like a town that has like expanded over time.
Yeah, you'll see a couple of construction projects that are some of the high rise buildings. They're happening now, but for the most part, it's a very... There is, you know, hills and stuff like that, but there's not a lot of high-rise buildings there, so which
yeah, for
really
being such a big city.
Yeah.
As you're driving the streets and stuff, sometimes you feel like you're just in, like, an ongoing neighborhood that lasts forever rather than, like, a huge city.
Yeah, and some other things to do there in Guadalajara are there is a children's museum. It's called the Trompo Mágico Museum, and we didn't get a chance to go there, but we hear from everybody that has gone there that it's a really great activity. They have a lot of things to do there for kids, so it would be a great way to spend the day. They also have a Kidzania there. Kidzania, if you don't know what that is kind of a children's city. So, you know, you take your kids there and they go do little jobs as if they were adults so they can, you know, run a fire station or work as doctors or make McDonald's hamburgers.
It's like a little micro economy, and it's so adorable. It's probably one of the cutest activities we have ever done in our lives. We did it in
the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we didn't get to do it in Guadalajara this time, but they have one there. So you definitely could check that out. And there's also, you know, the day trips that you can go on to Tequila, Jalisco, where you can actually see some of the tequila refineries and get tours of the Jose Cuervo kind of distillery. So, yes, that sounds like a very adult thing to do, but there's also kind of kid-friendly things there that you can do as well. So we didn't get a chance to do that one either since, man, we were only there for 5 days and we had this list of all the things that we wanted to do. And we know now that we're going to have to make a return trip just to kind of check all of these other activities off the list for us.
Other things that are big in Guadalajara is soccer, especially it's all over Mexico. Soccer is huge.
Yep, the Chivas, that's the big soccer team, is one of the kind of two big teams in Mexico. But yeah, Guadalajara was a very charming city. It's a big city. There's a lot of things to do there, but there's neighboring places like Lake Chapala, like Tequila, that you can have kind of that day escape from the big town. Transportation there is really easy. They have Uber that you can pay to pretty much get anywhere that you want. So definitely recommend going to Guadalajara. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, and we hope to be back in the future. Our next destination is going to be Mexico City. So the other kind of big city, Guadalajara is the number two biggest city in Mexico. Mexico City is the number one biggest city.
And you feel that Mexico City is a huge leap from Guadalajara. Like you, when you arrive, you can feel the monstrosity that is Mexico City, the traffic. But Mexico City to me is an extremely beautiful city. I think if you know the places to go in Mexico City, which hopefully we help you guys with, it can be a really amazing week. Things to be aware of, though, is Mexico City is really high altitude. If you have breathing issues or anything like that, it's something to consider before going. Like, we are very healthy, young family, I would say, and we could feel... it's a mix of the altitude and the pollution there. Like you can feel it. Your body definitely feels it. So if you have respiratory problems, it's something to consider before going. But Mexico City is where I lived when I was in the fifth grade. And so thankfully I still have friends there who we could meet up with and also kind of Go back to some of my favorite childhood spots, one being Xochimilco. So Xochimilco is floating gardens, and it's interesting because they're kind of right in the city. Once you get on your boat, they call them trajineras, and they're like giant, I don't know how to describe them. They're like giant canoes, but like giant as in like picnic tables. And
giant
like
canoes with like a picnic table down the middle, and people go in there and they have meals and they host parties. And it is an amazing sight to see, because the only thing that I can really compare it to would be the gondolas in Venice, Italy.
And I don't even think that's a fair comparison.
No, because the gondolas, those are like two people per gondola, and you get a very like intimate, romantic experience. Xochimilco, it's like these boats have up to 20, maybe sometimes 30 people inside of them, and they are packed. There's a ton of them. And these little river canals, you know, they're small, but there's still a lot of space for a whole bunch of them too.
But I think if you go to Mexico City, to me, it would be the number one thing not to miss, because it's truly a cultural experience. It's truly something locals do still. And when you're on your boat, like there's vendors going by selling you some of the favorite local cuisines, whether that's a mango with chili or horchata that's going by. You can buy beers, and then they also have live music throughout the canal. So there's, you know, a boat full of mariachis. And if you want them to join you on your boat, they put the boat side to side. The mariachis hop on board with you. And it is just beautiful. It is just a very culturally rich experience that I just think is very unique for Mexico. Things to note, though, if you go on a weekend in the evenings, it is a giant party. So if you have young children, that might not be the best time to go. It will be a very big drunken river party is what it will be, and it will be packed. We opted to go on a Sunday morning, which I liked. It depends on the day. So if you want it to be empty and almost have a private tour of the river, which I've done before, you could go on a weekday early in the morning. I recommend that if you have kids and you want the true cultural experience, that you go in the morning of a Saturday or Sunday. Because I think that when the river is full of other boats going through, when you see people yelling at each other's boats and talking, and there's more mariachis and there's more food vendors, you really get the full experience. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. I think it's just a moment, you know, I hope our kids remember. It's one of my first memories of Mexico City as a little girl, was riding the boats of Xochimilco. So it was really fun for me to be able to take Rod, who had never been, and the kids.
Yeah, and it's really easy to get to. It's probably like a 30 to 45 minute drive from kind of the downtown area of Mexico City.
And that's in crazy traffic.
Yeah, that's with traffic. You can take an Uber there. Everybody knows where it's at. And it's just really, really accessible. Once you get there, you have an option of which boat you want to get on, how long you want to be on it, the kind of things that you want. So if you didn't bring any food, then you can have, you know, the vendors there that will load up your trajinera with a bunch of food and a bunch of drinks. And then as you go, there's going to be vendors that you can use to get whatever you want. And it was really, really amazing. Highly, highly recommend.
Definitely recommend it as a wonderful place for kids. Another area of Mexico City that not many people ever talk about, it's not really on guides or anything, I think it's more of a locals place. It's called Parque de los Venados. It's in English, it would be Park of the Deer. But Parque de los Venados, and it is a giant playground for children. And then it also has this like weird permanent carnival.
Yeah, it's like a fair.
It's like a fair
with little like carnival rides and games. A little roller coaster, the fair games. Yeah.
And the carnival is actually free to walk through, and you just pay per game, and they're really, really cheap. And I'm like protective mama bear, so I'm a little cautious since I don't know what regulations there are, like which rides my kids get on. But they did like the bumper cars, and you can actually rent little like power wheels for them to drive around this huge park. So the kids got this little Jeep, and I don't know. It's just a really, really cool place if you have young children, because you will see mostly locals there. It's a lot of local families, mm-hmm. So you kind of get a feel for...
That playground, I have to say, it felt like super chaotic, because it seems like there were over 100 children there that are all playing, and all of because the playground is pretty big, and there's a lot of kids there doing stuff. So us being there, it was probably one of our like first days in Mexico City. We showed up, it was packed, and we're like, we're not going to go back because this looks like a ton of fun. And the kids started running around, but then like keeping track of where your kids are.
But we also went.
challenge for you as a parent.
We went on like a Saturday midday. So it's like every kid in the city was out. But I mean, it was packed, but it was a lot of fun. And it's another, I mean, all over Mexico, it's really easy to get different street foods. If you are not Mexican and you aren't used to, I guess, Mexican food, and your kids are hungry along the way, I would definitely stick, if you're buying like street food, more to like a popcorn or something very simple rather than getting a meat rod and I eat whatever. But I think we also grew up here and our stomachs have acclimated to Mexican food.
Many people that we've heard go there still have the street food and don't have a problem.
That's
right?
True.
So,
but don't pass up on the churros no matter where you're from, because the street churros in Mexico City are my favorite in all of Mexico. They're so, so good. And you can get them like filled with chocolate or vanilla. So we got churros right there, like a block from Parque de los Venados. And oh, man.
And it is super cheap, too. You're paying, you know, like 50 cents in U.S. terms for a churro. And it's this really big, like, dessert. And it tastes delicious. And there's nothing stopping you from getting more.
That's so freaking good.
That's why we tell you that you're probably going to gain weight if you go to Mexico, just because the food there is delicious. But it's also probably pretty fatty because a lot of it's fried.
So not too far from Parque de los Venados is another one of my favorite places in the city. And that is the area of Coyoacán. Coyoacán is kind of like the Tlaquepaque of Guadalajara. Coyoacán is a really pretty and calm plaza, and there's a church there, and there's a lot of restaurants surrounding it. And I think in Mexico, it depends. If you want a quiet time in a plaza like Coyoacán, go during the week, midday, or even in the evening. If you want a true cultural experience and vibrancy, you go on Sunday, because Sundays are plaza days throughout Mexico, no matter if you're on a beach town or in a city. Typically after the night mass, so most Mexicans are Catholic, so depending on what time the church is on that plaza, if it's at 5 or 6, an hour later, everyone will pour out of the church and you will just see families all over the plazas. And Mexicans, you know, if you aren't too familiar with Mexico, like, we eat a breakfast in the morning and then we eat our huge main meal in the day around 2. And then we eat snacks around 8 or 9, and kids are out till 10 or 11. It's just the schedule in Mexico. And so typically once church gets out, the plazas fill up around 7:30-ish, and they'll be packed with kids until 11 or 12 at night. And it's a lot of live music, a lot of food. You can see sometimes they'll have performances, they'll have dances in the plaza, or they'll have clowns or a comedian. It's kind of like this free festival that happens every weekend in these big plazas. So if that's a cultural activity that interests you, I would definitely go to Coyoacán on a Sunday evening and immerse yourself, because you, I mean, it's just nice to sometimes just sit on a bench and people watch and like admire. I think that's something when I moved to the U.S., I missed a lot, because those Sunday, you don't just see that in the U.S. where those Sunday gatherings, it's like everyone goes and just is.
Yeah, it just enjoys each other's company. And you get a very friendly experience of, you know, what local life is in that city. And it's just a very approachable part of town that we really enjoyed being in.
So, yeah. So if you're in Mexico City, I would recommend spending Sunday night in Coyoacán. But if you're in anywhere in Mexico on Sunday, ask where the best local plaza is and go there on a Sunday evening, because I'm sure they will have something going on.
Yeah. And I feel like even with the experiences that we just talked about in Mexico City, we're barely even scratching the surface of what you can do there. Some other places that you can go to are the pyramids of Teotihuacan. Those are kind of the Aztec pyramids that are just outside of town that you can go and take a quick day trip out to. You have the Papalote Museum, which is the children's museum there in that area of Chapultepec, which is a very big kind of gardeny park area in town. So, you know, we spent about 5 or 6 days in Mexico City, definitely not enough to be able to get the full experience. So, you know, what you hear from us is what you can do on an itinerary of having about a week there. But we definitely recommend going there and experiencing that culture, whether it's through Guadalajara or Mexico City. There is so much to see, so much to do. There's the amazing live music from the mariachis. There is dancing from Ballet Folclorico, which is kind of the national dancing in Mexico.
Another big thing in Mexico City, if it interests you, is that's like the heart of the it's called the luchadores.
It's lucha libre. Yeah, lucha libre is like Mexican wrestling.
It's like the WWE of Mexico, where they wear the crazy masks and it's this big theatrical production. Mexico City is like the heart of the luchadores. Mm-hmm. So if seeing a luchador event, it's a very cultural event. To be quite honest, I have never been interested in it. It's never been something that interests me, but I really want to take Santi when he's a little older because it is a big cultural experience and I think he would find it so fascinating.
Right. The action. It's like being in a live action superhero movie and you're watching these people flying off of the ring and like hitting each other and like unmasking each other, which is this really dramatic part of lucha libre. So it is a really cool thing that I've seen on TV. I haven't seen one live, but I would love to be a part of it in the future.
Yes.
So in terms of our part one, this about wraps it up. And in this episode, we were able to get through kind of the big cities of Guadalajara and Mexico City. Next episode, which will be part two, we will get more into the beach kind of resort type locations that you can find in Mexico. So that would be Ixtapa and Zihuatanejo. And then we'll focus a lot of that episode into Playa del Carmen and the Cancun area in the state of Quintana Roo, in which we spent about 6 to 7 weeks in.
And there's so much to do in the Yucatan. So from Holbox to Cozumel to Tulum to Playa, we did a lot. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot to cover. But we hope to kind of give you guys a guide on the next episode on what you can do in the Yucatan area that's not at the resort. There's so much to do. So many people come and they stay at their all-inclusive resort. And don't get me wrong, we love all-inclusive.
Yep.
But it's also nice to take a week and go do other things off the resort. And there's so much to do.
Yeah, go find private beaches. You go see cenotes, which are like the pools, the freshwater pools in the middle of the jungle. And you get these really amazing experiences that, frankly, you don't find anywhere else in the world. So we are really excited to have that episode for you next time, part two of our Mexico series. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to look forward to the next one, then you make sure that you subscribe to this podcast. But, you know, we just wanted to finish up with saying thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your questions and for all of your feedback. And we are excited to continue to try to motivate and inspire others to travel more together.
So thank you guys. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us at hello@thejetsettingfamily.com or reach out to us on Instagram. We're happy to answer.
@thejetsettingfamily.
Yeah. Yeah. Any questions that you may have, especially about Mexico, which is so near and dear to our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So until next week,
happy jet setting.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.
Ever wonder if they were listening to you? So did Al Franken. Yep, that Al Franken. He was just on our podcast impersonating his former Senate colleagues in the name of privacy.
What the Hack with Adam Levin will make you feel more chill about the unchill things that happen online and off, with easy-to-understand tips to make your life a little less hackable.
Join us as we look at the ways people get scammed and hacked. What the Hack with Adam Levin is a weekly cyber true crime show that unravels a fresh new hell every Monday.
What the Hack with me, Adam Levin, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Jennifer Lincoln, board certified OBGYN, and you may know me from social media where I spend a lot of my time educating about everything reproductive health. This podcast is called Let's Talk About Down There, and that's what I'm doing. I am talking about down there with no shame, no stigma, a lot of fun, and a lot of education. And why? Because when we talk about these things, we educate and we empower ourselves. Call in, leave a question, and know that it's okay to have questions about your body, and we're going to answer them.